Okay, call our meeting back to order. And Nikki's got the, the agenda in front of us. Any questions or comments on it?
If there's any rescheduling, Nikki has knows that I'm going to be gone the Thursday and Friday this week.
Okay.
So if there's any rescheduling for anything else, I'd just like to bring it up before we get.
Good to know.
Just so you guys know, I will also be gone on Thursday and Friday.
Well, we're not going.
No, we're not going someplace.
Okay.
Since you're talking about days off.
Does have a little. Okay.
I'm good with it.
What about the 9 o'clock RHSOC?
That's the Homeland Security. I'm going to that.
Are you going to go?
I'm going to that. I think Danny's
going. All right. Okay. Agenda's good, sounds like.
Yep.
What's next?
This morning, you guys talked about scheduling 3 meetings. I just need some clarification on next couple of weeks. Are you wanting them next week? All of them next week?
Let me throw some things out.
I just don't want some miscommunication, you thinking that I was supposed to schedule it and it bumps to the following week. I just would like some direction.
Jim has an idea.
Yeah. Let's start next Monday, the 25th, at 11 a.m. with a, we'll just call it planning and zoning code review. Okay? And then let's also bump Frank's time if you guys want to, we can plan ahead. Let's just do a 30-minute lunch that day and start up at 12:30 and go from 12:30 to 1:30 with some more planning and zoning code book review.
Okay. Why don't we have lunch in then? We used to do that all the time.
Let's do it from 11 o'clock until 1:30. We'll just do code book review on the 25th. Okay? And then it looks like we're going to be here anyway on Wednesday the 27th with the mayors from 9 to 10. Why don't we just from 10 to like noon do some more code book review then, since we're all here?
On the 27th.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Sounds good to me.
And then on Friday the 29th is a strange day. So let's just, if we can get to that Wednesday, we can see. I'm trying to think.
Is that, you see where we're at? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because the 26th, we've got floodplain review maps here, so we really don't have hearing room here on Tuesday the 26th. And I've got some things on my calendar on the 28th and the 29th. I'm not sure exactly. So we might be able to do some more stuff on the 29th possibly in the morning. But I just need to look at a few more things personally before I can commit to it. We showed nothing on the agenda on the 29th, but that would give us some, that'd give us many hours of discussions there. So, but anyway, that would be giving us time to talk about those, all planning and zoning issues, Nikki, is my thought.
Okay. Would you like to take the 3 issues that Bob has presented and address those as we go into P&Z? Would you like to address those in that meeting so that the public comes forward and they will know that we have started that process?
I think that
that's already in the process.
Well, I think the subdividing seems to be a big issue, the 40 and the 5, and that's what you've already worked on, Bob. So let's make that a point of issue on the 25th, that first session.
Okay. Now, that we'll have to review that because the code book has changed to the 2 acres instead of the 5. It used to be 5, and at one time it was 10.
What are you talking about? We haven't changed the code book on the acreage, have we?
Well, what we're talking about is if you carve off a 5, it would apply even if you carved off a 2.
Right, that's where I'm going. Okay. It's wrote up as 5 in the little memo that was sent out, but it needs to be changed to 2, and there's things like that. But that'll be in that discussion.
I think minor subdivision is how we classify
subdivision.
In order to do 8,000 square feet, you got to do a subdivision and come through a division 3 because you're going to have a lot of stuff. But to have a 2-acre lot that you're going to put a house on, you can have a septic, it's not a problem. So if you're going to carve off 2 acres or 5 acres for your kid, either way, it's the same.
But that's not in the code book today. Is it?
Yeah, there's a...
In a minor subdivision it is, but not outside of the minor subdivision.
No, I mean, there is a requirement that you have 2 acres if you're going to have only septic. I think that's both the sewer and the planning zone.
But the issue is, I thought that's what you were on all along, is that where you can divide, whether it's 2 acres or 5 acres or 10 or whatever, off of 40 without doing a minor subdivision.
It doesn't matter.
Is that what you're trying to get done?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter right now. It's a minor subdivision. So
no, but that's what's in the code book, and what we're talking about is doing something outside of that.
Right. Right. We're talking about doing something different so you can do that without having to survey the entire acreage of the parent lot. And what he's saying is, I say you carve off 5 acres. That's just an example.
Right.
If you only carve off 2, it's the same principle.
Exactly.
Right.
We don't have that ability. We don't think we do currently.
Not currently.
It was in the code book already. That's what got my attention.
The other day when you had those in there, it showed it on there. I don't know whether that was just something that you added.
No, you were looking at the minor sub. What we're talking about is 5.2 talks about dividing land. Doesn't say anything about how many acres, whether it's 2, 5, 10, 7
right.
and a half, or anything
right.
else.
It doesn't matter. I just use 5 as an example.
Okay.
It could be 2 acres.
Let's wait and use that in our discussion during that time frame. But that's...
I'm sorry. I just, when you said it was in the code book, that startled me. Because we don't have anything.
I understood what he was saying.
Okay. So... that would be one thing. At that point, at that time, I'll also have duplex or multifamily stuff that I can share with you guys at that point.
Right.
So on duplexes.
And what was the other one? We had 3.
The other one was the not having to extend it each year.
And that's a discussion.
Zoned, it's zoned.
That's the performance zoning, basically, is doing away with that. But yes, that's the 3 biggest issues. I mean, if you look at the existing potential legal cases that we may be facing, that's based around...
one that we already are.
Right, the one that is based off of that, too.
Okay.
One zoned, always zoned.
Here's where I was going. I'm sorry I got this far off base. Here's where I was going. Bob has already presented this to PNZ. And so those 3 issues, if we can address those, we have a good statement to make to the public if they ask, are you working on these? We've already... worked on those 3 things that have already been presented to PNZ.
What have you presented to PNZ? I'm lost.
I orally presented these 3 issues to PNZ. And they asked me, well, I guess you're going to draft them then, is kind of when they nodded their head.
Okay, you've talked about the issues. You haven't presented some kind of paperwork or draft or anything.
I think I did several years ago on the one that I've got on my computer still that has to do with this minor subdivision.
Split.
Yeah, with the big lot. But other than that, no, I would have to draft it, but it's not a major drafting job for the 3 extension thing. It's the second one that would be, I think you've got some people coming in on duplex stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Also, I was going to have IT put a public input form on the website, just like we have for the transportation board. I think I got 2 nods earlier.
Uh-huh.
Not what?
Danny didn't hear that, so I wanted to...
giving people an opportunity, Danny, to give us suggestions or concerns with the existing code book. What do they want to see changed?
You mean let them send it to us and it will come
fill it out
automatically? It will
fill it out on a form on the website and it automatically routes to our email.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Anything we do that has public input, I'm fine for it.
Okay. And also a reminder, next week, legislative
priorities
are on there.
Yep.
So just be mindful this week and review those or whatever you need to do with that.
We dealt a little bit with that, Jim, up there. Are we having something different? Is this something different?
It is something different.
Briefly
is that we are part of the Branson Legislative Affairs Committee, and we pay a fee to that, to be a part of that. and part of that fee goes toward lobbyists at Jeff City.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we have a say on what they lobby.
Yeah.
And so we just need to make sure that we are making sure we're covering county issues, too, when they're up there lobbying. If it's TIF-related, you know, making the county you have ability to reject a TIF or whatever, or what was it, commercial versus residential assessments based off of not rental.
Yeah.
You know, if we want to address that and make that an issue.
Okay.
But things like that, that we just want to make sure that we
that's our
we look in, we have the ability to do that, we make sure we look into that.
All right.
I have one nuisance case, case number 10-0818. The last time we discussed this, you directed me to get a contract for deed, and I have done so, and I'll bring it up to you.
Okay.
I can't remember what name this was. And this is the owner that has filed one against himself.
Pretty much. And we have the affidavit of interest.
Right.
He requested a copy of the actual contract that was done between the actual owner and the individual purchasing the property through the deed.
So this is the actual contract?
Yes.
That he has between him and...
And the reason for that was to see if there was any... Yeah, if there was any statements in the contract that said you're responsible for this or that, right? That's for the reason. That was the reason we wanted the contract for deed.
Say that again. I was reading that, Danny. I'm sorry. What did you say again?
The reason we wanted that contract for deed was to see if there was any statements in that contract that stated that you are responsible for cleanup or. How was it we put it, Bob? You remember the case when we talked about it?
Don't exactly remember, but this is the contract for deed.
Yeah, it doesn't really say
if the buyer was responsible for anything or the present owner was responsible for the cleanup. That's where we were at.
My understanding from you, Bob, is that the property owner, not the one that's entered into a contract with the property owner, would be responsible, would be the only one we could hold responsible. Is that right?
Absent it being really more of a sale than just a contract for deed, there are some indicators of the sale, like if it's recorded with the recorder's office, if the courts would treat it as a sale more than as a contract for deed, it might be that I would go after the actual owner, and you might want to go after both. Seller is the owner, seller shall convey $35,000.
That may be why we asked for the contract then, from what you just said.
So I guess the ultimate question is now, now that you've got that, what now? Right, Nikki?
That's
she's saying, what's next? I got you what you asked for, now what?
Can I review this?
Absolutely not, Bob. I think we want you to be able to make a decision without reading whatsoever.
That was a joke, I hope.
It was. Some of your best work is off the cuff. Yes, review it, Bob, please, all means.
And have her proceed against either the owner or...
We need to move forward, don't we?
Yes.
We all agreed to move forward. We just don't know to whom,
okay.
If that's
like
proper.
Make a motion to... Move forward on 10-0818 according to Bob's instruction to Nikki.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 That wasn't too painful.
What else, Nikki?
When we got lots of extra time, I'd like to talk about Quincy Road. Or can you tell me, do you know right off the top where we are on that one?
He's got that one. I know.
Does he?
Yes, I
mm-hmm.
Personally copied
it
and took
it over.
So.
Great.
Thank you. The neighbors thank you, too, I bet.
Just as far as the pictures go for each of these nuisance cases, because we're having an individual from planning and zoning, there's lots of additional issues going on in planning and zoning right now where we don't have a lot of time to go out. And so we are getting phone calls in the office. And you guys can think of a different...
From P&Z, you mean, because they're out of time? Or?
I mean, they're, no, P&Z is just swamped with
right.
their own issues.
Who's the phone calls from?
Complainers.
Windows. Oh, okay. You got updates. A lot of work. I got you.
Yeah. I mean, the list continues to grow.
Investigations needed.
We get, we have people in the maintenance department we could send out in a county-owned vehicle to go take pictures. We wanted to divvy it up.
I would be again that, and I think what you need, in my personal opinion, is that you'll just have to tell them that we're in the process, we've got all these things on their plate, and we'll have to let them. The reason I say that is because they have been to so many properties that they've got some idea of which ones to turn down and which ones are not, mm-hmm. and which ones are priorities and which ones are not. And so they're the department to handle this, other than, I think Chuck used to take pictures himself, didn't you? Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's never been nobody else involved in taking pictures that gives you the distance off the road or, you know, the angles of what we're looking at and everything else. Huh?
Just from the office perspective, it's frustrating.
Well, can you want us to have some kind of a statement wrote up from the commission that we'll...
No, I mean, we can handle the phone calls. I wasn't saying that. It's they continue to call back.
And it's... You just want to get the job done,
yeah,
and it makes
yeah.
it an uncomfortable spot for you to be in.
And they're very—I mean, they're very nice. They're not rude or crude, you know, when they call. They say at a frustration point, I think a couple of the complainers have lost the sale of their house because of a property down the road or right next to them spilled the trash or building materials. I just wanted you guys to think about that.
Okay.
I don't know that there's an immediate solution.
Okay.
And I know that P&Z will continue to work on that as they can.
All right. Very good. Appreciate your heart on it. What else?
Did you do the abatements this morning?
That's just what I was getting ready to ask about.
That was the email.
I have four
the
personal
email.
Property refund abatements requiring a vote.
And this is based off our BOE process, correct? Probably.
I believe so.
No, I know that they're...
Okay.
What is it? Let me see.
Just four numbers have to be voted on by the commission.
Are you done, Nikki?
Yes.
Okay. I just, okay. Right. We good with it then? No. No, just.
I mean, I'd like to, I don't want to look at a number and abate a number if I don't know what it is.
Do you want me to grab someone?
If they can bring the files, you bet.
Okay. T-Highway, we ready to do that, or what were we going to do next?
That's fine.
All right. All right.
You want me here for this? Or you want me
yes,
here?
Please,
okay.
I do. Right. I think you're the most knowledgeable. Jennifer, come up, please. And did I ask you to bring that map?
Yes, you did.
All right.
I made
oh, good.
I think you can sit down if it's easier for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sit down here with Bob.
I'm sorry, Eddie. These little panic attacks or whatever they are. It's just something that's in my system.
You ought to be a commissioner.
It'll work on that. It'll work on those.
It'll work on those panic attacks, girl.
Thanks. Okay. And I'm sorry that some of this seems redundant. It's just, I'm, like I said at the PNZ meeting, is that I feel a policy has to be changed, and I don't know how to go about it. And I think that's half the problem there, too, is just I don't know how, and maybe I've gotten my point across and my answer has been given. I don't know. Because I did, first, you're all familiar with what this is about, what I expect.
are you all pretty familiar?
Let me kind of
recap.
Refresh.
Hold on, 1 second.
Can I just give you the right now? General situation?
No.
And then she can...
Yeah. Bob, hold on 1 second here. Okay. We just need to review those, and then we'll come and give them back to you.
No.
We'll just give them back to you within the next 15, 20 minutes. We'll be done with them.
Christy will keep us from walking off with them, maybe. How about that?
All right.
You on T10 right. or T4?
We're on T10.
Okay. She has a place on T10, she and her husband, and it's a mobile home park, and they have various people who are staying there, and they're renters from them. And the sewer district is considering running a line out there, and if they hook to each of the pads, she will be charged as the owner for each of those bills. However, if the tenant doesn't pay, it'll be a major economic problem for them in running the community, the mobile home park. So what she wants is a change in the policy so that the user is the one that's responsible for the bill. The sewer board, on the other hand, has the owner on the hook and doesn't want to let the owner off the hook because obviously they want to collect no matter who it's from, and they have the right under the statute to go after the owner. She thinks that things need to be different. Right now, there's a line going out there, and there may be a redesign that has occurred because of her situation, not to run it where they were going to run it to. So I'll let her add to it.
That's a portion of the problem. The other portion is that even if there isn't anyone on a lot, if it's just a vacant lot or if it's a vacant trailer, they're also going to charge me for that. So as a for instance, right now, we've been told by the sewer district back when we put in our new sewer and everything that we were allowed 12 spots. Right now there's 7 trailers that are there and occupied. So there's going to be 5 that I'd be charged just because they're there.
Okay.
And any time that one of those trailers becomes vacant, especially like over Christmas time, it takes 2 or 3 months sometimes to rent it because of the holidays. And with the economic situation the way it is now, it's taken longer to rent trailers. And so while it sits empty, I'm paying sewer on it. So if you take the 12 times what I expect is going to be the $32.88 for each lot, is how it's been explained to me, is that they would charge me. That's almost $400 a month, which equates to me as another mortgage payment. I can't do that. I make the mortgage payments and stuff like that, but to have that, and it'll never quit. For as long as I own it, for as long as I live there, for as long as somebody else owns it, there's no way to stop it. There's no way to quit. You can't shut it off.
Right.
You can't, you're on the hook.
Bob, I have a question for you on this. So I think we sat down and talked about this at one time. So the question comes down to is, it sounds like they're almost paying for capacity. I mean, if she only has 7 trailers and she's going to be serviced, given capacity for 12 or 11 trailers, we're charging her for a futuristic capacity. That's the first concern I have.
I understand.
Second concern is, there really is no mechanism that I'm aware of that knows when they hook them and when they're occupied, not occupied.
Unless you have a meter on it, no, there's no way of knowing. And the reason they do it the way they do it is for that very reason, because we don't have water hooked up to every structure. So a lot of them are on their own wells. Otherwise, they could use the water meter to determine what the sewer is. And they do that some places. But instead, they use a volumetric average, and it's the same fee for every residence, and they don't know whether somebody's using it or not.
Is there a way to have a policy? I mean, I assume we're here to talk about the issue and see if we can't come up with a workable solution. Is that right? Or is there a solution on the table?
What's happened, if I understand correctly, at the last sewer board meeting, they have taken the line out to the house that I showed you.
Uh-huh.
They've illuminated this line.
The whole line.
And they have moved this manhole back just off of their property, because they've asked for an easement from them.
Okay.
For this and also for this. And so the sewer board, in trying to help their situation, has moved this manhole
to their side.
And this off, so there's no easement required of them. That's where they stand now. Is that right?
Yes, and I have a couple of things I'd like to point out on that, where they made those decisions. I was to be told whenever anything was discussed at the sewer district meeting concerning our property, I was supposed to be notified so that I could be here. This was on the agenda, and I came, and as soon as it comes up, they go to executive session. I never hear what's actually happening. It's all done in executive session. Then nobody calls me. I have no idea what's happened. Okay. Nobody calls me. Nobody lets me know. Like, they don't know I'm interested in this. And so I come over and get a copy 3 days later of the executive session minutes. And that's how I find out what's happening to my property.
So let me ask you a question. Do you want sewer service to the property, don't you, or do you not?
I do. That has never been the issue. Okay. The issue is, I think it's exorbitant what they're trying to charge me and the position that they're putting me in. If I decide to close up shop because I can't afford it, if I go ahead with what they're pretty much wanting to do on the sewer, if I close up shop because I can't afford it, as long as that manhole is on my side of the property, even if I have absolutely no business, if they put me out of business, they're going to charge me for a commercial hookup for the rest of my life, as long as I live there.
The sewer or for property taxes?
No, the sewer. I'm still going to have to pay for that commercial.
Because the line's been run out there, you'll be responsible for those monthly payments. Because right now, we don't know if you're hooked up or not. Just like you said, you only have 7 trailers out there right now versus the capacity for 11 or 12.
But they told me 12.
There'd be a difference between the commercial and the residential. If it was hooked up to each pad would have its own residential based on the volumetric average, 32 whatever a month. But if there was just one hookup to her situation and she were to run the trailers all through one, she would be charged a commercial rate with some sort of a meter on it, correct?
Actually, I'm saying if you put me out of business, I'm selling the trailers, I'm going to have bare property.
No, I understand that. But those are the two possibilities. And if they just run into your property line, you're saying even if you don't hook up, they're going to be charging you the commercial rate,
right,
the base rate, before you get charged for actual usage.
Yeah.
Even if they don't hook up, they're going to charge her, right?
I don't know that. That's what she's saying.
That's what I've been told.
That's what I've heard, too, though. Well, I mean, I've heard the same thing.
I can go through a perfect example of a man that came to my office last week that was madder than a hornet, who's lived there on his location for a long time, had a sewer bill from the sewer department down here, never been hooked to the sewer. And he was ready to get in somebody's hair. And he came up and talked to me, and I told him, I said, let me talk to this situation. I don't think that there's anything fair about that. I don't think there's anything fair about her situation. If you do not have flow running through a pipe to a location, why are you being charged?
Because there's no way for them to know.
Not her responsibility.
If I could just say something here, this is a sewer utility issue of the Taney County Regional Sewer District. it's related to some of the building issues because of where they're going to put this line if certain things happen or don't happen, and maybe they've already made that decision. But it is a sewer utility issue, which is within the purview of the Taney County Regional Sewer District. I agree, in theory, with what's been said here today, is that they probably need to rework their policies and primarily go after the user rather than the owner, leaving the owner as an entity that they can go after in most cases. Should they charge when someone's not using the sewer? That needs to be looked into. Can they force people to hook up? The person who wasn't hooked up, who was getting charged anyway, can they force him to hook up? There's a lot of issues here that need to be looked at by the sewer utility. They need to probably come up with some user policies that are different than what they have, come up with some user agreements and contracts, and I've suggested that before.
Bob,
and that would be what they need to do.
Bob, let me tell you something. That is exactly the reason that we're sitting in this PNC situation that we're in, this lack of common sense. And the thing of it is when a person has a piece of property out here and they have a trailer, and this other gentleman had a trailer, that thing's been there for 25, 30 years. Okay, his sewer failed. So what does he do? He comes over here, gets a permit to put his new sewer line in, goes above and beyond. He told me exactly what all they put into the thing, and they give him the sheet of paper that told him what he'd have to do to put his sewer in. A year later, he goes to getting sewer bills after he's had all this expense of doing it exactly right, the way they wanted it, and he goes to getting sewer bills.
You're talking about the septic. He put a new septic in even though there was sewer available right there?
No. They put the sewer in after.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But he was told how to put his septic in.
Correct.
He was told how many feet of lateral line to put in.
I understand.
The perk test was done. There's one other test. The state.
You can tell me that it's a fully operational, approved septic system that's working just fine, is what you can tell me, right?
Well, what I'm going to tell you is our sewer department approved it.
Okay.
And now, after he puts all that expense in and the sewer comes through, he's getting billed for a bill to his place that he's not even hooked up to.
I understand your point, and it's one of the policies that need to be looked at. I mean, they need to look at those policies. I agree with you.
We're basically in the same situation. We just, I don't remember the exact dates and stuff, but 2 or 3 years back, we needed to put in additional septic and whatnot, and we came over here, got all the stuff that we needed to do, how we had to do it and everything, had it inspected and everything, and that's when they told us we were approved for the 12 trailers then. And now here we have sewer going in, not only do it, if it would go in, we not only would have to pay to have it, the sewer brought from that manhole over to where we would connect in, but we also have to take out this brand new system that we just put in. And I don't know, now that sitting at these hearings are scary sometimes, because there was a gentleman here with a campground or something that they were saying that they had to pressure test all the lines and everything, and the cameras going down the lines, and maybe that's what they need to do and everything. I'm not sure, you know, as far as I know, ours is good, but I don't know that it's going to meet what they're going to want. And so I'm sitting here now thinking, okay, are we going to have to dig up all of our lines, put in all new, you know, how much is this really going to cost us in the end if we were to hook up? They're just bringing a manhole to the end of our property and saying, okay, you take it from there, but it has to be according to what we say. And I understand all that, but you know, that could be a huge expense. When we first started on this, we volunteered to go ahead and put water meters on each one of those trailers. We would bite the bullet once. We would go ahead, do the expense and everything, because we could put the money into it now, and then we don't have to worry about it. Then the sewer district's responsibility, they go out there, they read the meters, we could enter into a well agreement, whatever we had to do with them, so that they would be responsible for getting how much sewer, how much water, whatever it is they're going to measure it by, to each trailer. They send the bill to them, and it goes with the people. If it comes back on us, if we're the ones that are going to be ultimately responsible for paying this bill, Mr. Smith in trailer number two can go from our trailer having not paid a bill. He can go to Michelle's trailer court or to another trailer court and hook up. He gets sewer. I don't get sewer because the bill isn't paid.
Which is the very problem that the sewer district has. Absent a water company that can shut off, you're going to get 2, 3, 4, 5 bills that haven't been paid before it's even worthwhile possibly suing. Then they leave and go somewhere else and get sewer, she's left holding the bill, but the sewer people have nobody to collect against except for the owner, and they can put a lien by statute on the property, and they don't want to give up their ability to go against the owner, because then they won't be getting paid, and they need all the money they can to keep everybody's bills down. Otherwise, it would be astronomical, and they wouldn't be able to. You understand what I'm saying?
So what is the solution? We've clearly defined the problem.
The solution is to sit down and talk about, have the sewer district sit down and talk about their billing practices. I don't think they're going to give up the responsibility of the owners ultimately, but I think that they may be willing to do some of these things and go after the users more aggressively if they have user agreements and other things. Perhaps they can be easier on the owners or whatever. And you know, in her situation, there's probably some creative solutions. Maybe there isn't one.
But since she has the water system and they're willing to do the meters and would enter into an agreement, if they would do that, why wouldn't that work?
If it came through one source, if they did it as a commercial and it came through one source, you know, if it went through hers, one place from all the trailers, and it was based upon the water being supplied, I think they would do that, but it would be at the commercial rates rather than the residential rates, which would be pretty expensive.
I mean, these are residences, and if each one's separate residence, and they're...
It's a trailer home park, which could be seen as it's a commercial operation, and they could charge a commercial rate to her and do it on the actual volume based on the water. Or what they do, they don't offer that, and maybe they should. I mean, I'm talking about their policies. I'm not talking about how I would design
Well, the policies are set by the sewer board, correct?
The sewer district board of directors.
But if they have a flat rate, a residential flat rate, 3288 or whatever it is,
right,
and each one had a meter, that if their bill wasn't paid, they could shut the meter off, they could shut the water off. She has a new renter come in. They get a deposit, whatever that deposit is, and they get sewer. And if they don't pay their bill, she's signed up that she will shut the water off.
Not me. I can't. The courts won't let me.
She's not a water.
She's not a water utility.
She's a tenant. I mean, a landlord.
She's not.
And she would get into a lot of trouble for turning off
the sewer. Can the sewer department shut it off?
Not the water.
No, because we're not there. We're not dealing with a water district. If we're dealing with a water district, if she set up an independent water district, if she was the main shareholder in it, it would be an independent party that could shut off the water or enter into an agreement with the sewer district to do that. She can't do it as the landlord, and she gets into a lot of trouble.
Thought I had a plan, but didn't have. Didn't work.
I've got a great plan, I think. I think before you put in sewer, or when you put in sewer, you should put in water.
We agree there. You couldn't put sewer where there isn't a water.
Right. Because you don't even have sewer if there isn't water. You got to have water.
We talked about that in the hallway Friday, Thursday, whatever it was. But Bob answered this question. Does the county, this county, the county commission, have the right to put in water? Do we not have water districts, and they have an area that they're...
Yes, narrow water districts.
I know Forsyth had an issue out here at Old Remus or something. So can we do what she's suggesting, I guess, is the bottom line.
I think we looked at the possibility of taking over some water districts in the past. And if I remember correctly, I'd want to go back and do the research again, but I don't want to do the research again, is that we thought about it, and in the instance of one of the water districts, there was so much debt by the water district that we really didn't want to take it over. I think they offered themselves to Branson as well as us, and neither Branson nor the county wanted to take over this particular water district.
And I told Jennifer, I said, if my guess is if we wait for water before we do any sewers,
we may be done.
I mean, it's a valid point, and it's the way it ought to be, but we're not going to have any sewers. And maybe I'm being too pessimistic for that to happen.
Well, I think the sewer district is realizing that unless you can have the economies of scale necessary to let the system pay for itself with the fees, pay for the operation and maintenance of the system, then it's not a good idea to build it. I think they're coming to that realization. Because the sewer tax won't last forever, and then once it's over, the people who put sewage into that line are going to have to support with the fees the operation and maintenance of that line. And I don't think anybody wants to be paying over $100 a month in sewer fees.
Next question is that you triggered with that comment is this project, is it worth it? Why are we doing it? I mean, what are we gaining? Is this a positive project? It's T-Highway D?
The way we've looked at it in the past is that we clean up the water by putting in these sewer systems in different areas. It's my understanding that it's for future possibilities because we already have the system that goes through the new development out there that's Branson Home Builders development. And so we just extended it across to take in some places and take them off so that they're not putting anything in the water supply. But again, if you're looking at the pure operation and maintenance being paid by the fees, you have to look at the economies of scale. And if it doesn't make sense and you don't think it's going to develop in the future, so it will make sense in the near future, maybe you don't build it. But that's the sewer district and your decision on whether to build stuff or not. As far as the operation and maintenance, that's up to the sewer district, how they run the utility.
There's a couple of things that I'd like to speak on, and one of them is the fact that she has, and this was brought up last week, the fact that we promote low-income housing, and that's what she's producing. Okay, we send letters of support for low-income housing, which puts them in direct competition with her. The other issue is I don't think that it should be a commercial venture. It should be a residential venture because the people that reside in those homes we're supplying low-income housing for. The other low-income housing projects that we have don't pay commercial rates. So then the other thing that I've got to say is when Mr. Pendle asked the question, should we build this project? When there's raw sewage running through the Ten Horns and two locations from that side of the road, yes, they should be built. Somebody is responsible for that. Now, could we wait and get in the same situation, or have we had leadership that have thought ahead as Lake of the Ozarks, who cannot even start? They're 25 years behind in their time. That was on the news. Or we've already took a step forward to try to help clean our lakes up and have a nice area to live in. So should this project be done? Yes. Should the homeowner be responsible for a residential low-income housing project? Should it be commercial? No, it should be residential.
If I may, a low-income housing apartment complex does not pay $32.50 for the entire complex. If there's 20 residences in there, they're either treated as commercial or they have 20 residential fees. So with a mobile home park, you either have one that's done at a commercial rate or you have that number of residential just like you would in an apartment. because they're not going to allow a huge apartment complex with just $132 fee. That wouldn't be fair to anybody in the city.
No, that wasn't what was asked, was it?
Well, no, I was just talking about, you said the low-income housing doesn't have to pay a commercial rate.
But they pay $32.50 a piece, right?
$32.50 a piece.
Okay. And what's wrong with that?
Or they're done commercial. The building's done commercial.
Okay, which is larger amount, right?
It's a larger, it's a more expensive rate, but sometimes if you have a lot of vacancies, it could be a smaller amount than going by each residence, but if they're all full, it's going to be a larger amount. You're correct. Well,
what I'm saying is we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we're double talking here. What we have is we're trying to promote low-income housing in the area, but we're trying to punish the people that provide low-income housing in a different realm.
All I'm saying is that it's a policy situation that I think, and I don't speak for the utility portion of the sewer district, I think they need to look at their policy and perhaps change some of their policies. But it's their policy that's at question here. Am I speaking wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think they should look at them.
So with that said, it's not our policy. The board makes the policy. Is there a way that the commission can present a policy suggestion? What's the proper process?
Certainly the county commission can present a...
suggestion?
They could present a suggestion to the Branson City Alderman if they had something they thought they ought to be doing.
Okay.
But I understand that there's more of a relationship between the sewer district and the county than there is between the city of Branson, and because we do fund their sewers. But we have some influence and maybe some direct say in the actual capital improvements, the buildings, because we fund them. As to the utility, we have less or no say other than to suggest or, you know, friendly suggestion like with the city of Branson, although it is a little bit more related. So there's no problem with your doing that. And I think they would be open to it. I just don't think... I don't think it's been looked at enough. They're trying to look at their utility more than they have in the past. They're looking at the issues of economies of scale and having to operate. When this tax goes out of existence, they're going to have to operate. They've been looking at all these things, and they're looking at ways to actually collect on some of their past due accounts. They're trying to do some things. They haven't gotten to the situation of looking at their policies. They just haven't gotten there.
Let me ask you a question. How long are your leases traditionally? Is it month to month? You go 6 months? What do you do?
I do 6 months because so
minimum is 6 months.
Minimum 6 months because of how the market is here.
I'm just throwing a suggestion out. This may come up as a suggestion to the sewer district in the near future from me. But suppose we just did an actual billing and we audited her rental records every 3 months. It's a little bit more paperwork.
That would be a possibility. It's more paperwork and more clerk time. And
but that's a one way to bill actuals versus, you know, knowing how many people. Now, obviously,
it's not my intent to be critical, but until a few weeks ago, the sewer district did not even know how many customers it had.
I'm not sure they still do.
Okay.
Just to throw something else out there, if I go away, I mean, and never speak of this again, it's not going to be the end of the subject. Because I've got notes upon notes of people, and I can tell you the dates that they've spoken, what their names are and everything, of the people that have come to the sewer district and said, I misquoted the other day, Mr. Pennell, when I told you that the gentleman lived there 2 to 3 months out of the year, and he was billed for the whole year every month. He lives there 2 to 3 weeks. After I went through my notes this weekend, it was 2 to 3 weeks out of the year. He goes there. It's a fishing cabin. He spends his vacation there. And then he pays for 12 months. He pays over like $400 for the year so that he can use that cabin for 2 to 3 weeks out of the year because it has sewer to it. He shuts off his water probably, and I don't know. He didn't say this. But my suspicion is that he shuts off his water so his pipes don't freeze through the winter. There isn't even water going to it. He's not using that for
11 months out of the year.
It wouldn't seem to be equitable, but you need to look at the entire policy, and the policy needs to be changed. There needs to be a look at policy at the sewer district level. I mean, do you disagree with that?
Oh, I don't disagree with it. I just like to see if someone would take this action, because obviously it's not really the county counselor, it's not really the commission's job, it's the district's job to come up with policies, and if their clients are saying, or their customers are saying it's a bad policy, there should be some proactive fixing. Similar to P&Z. What we're hearing, the people saying fix the code book, we're addressing the code book.
P&Z and sewer both, in my thinking, are volunteer positions.
Right.
And most if not all of them have occupations of their own that they're working at making a living.
Right.
And I agree with what you said, but because of that, is it not, should the county commission not take responsibility to work with our sewer and planning and zoning staff to, and that's what we're doing at planning and zoning, we're trying to.
It's a little different because it's the district, it's sewer district, it's a little different, but yes, the commission obviously has influence with the relationships that we have with the sewer district to help.
But it's the staff that ultimately should guide their board.
Yes.
And come up with decent policies or improvements in policies or suggestions and improvement in policy and lead their board through it if their board is so inclined.
And if Bob's guess a little bit earlier in the conversation that the sewer district would be willing to look at this, then maybe the next step out of this meeting is we go to the sewer district and say, we've heard a little about this. Are you in favor of us asking staff and working with them ourselves or getting them some help to do it, or how do we move forward, is what I'm trying to say.
I've been a proponent of this for a long time. Mr. Strafus can tell you that I've been a proponent of this for a long time. It's just that I have a feeling it's going to end up back on my plate.
Oh, most likely.
Well, I didn't mean you staff. I meant sewer department staff.
I understand. But
I'm just telling you.
It's a full circle.
Well, no, I mean, it could be. I understand. But let's start out not that not being part of the circle, that if we have to get an engineer or an accountant or somebody to help us iron this out, we don't go to Paulson.
No, that's fine. I'm all for that. I mean, they tried.
I've asked about, can't we go up to the Metropolitan Sewer District or other places and see how they run it? And I don't know that there is a model just like ours in our state where we have sewers where there aren't water lines to shut off.
Aren't most of the, and I don't know, most of them are through the health department, aren't they? I mean, in Missouri there aren't that many districts in Missouri, are there?
Well, the health department takes care of problems with septic and that sort of thing, but the health department doesn't actually own sewer lines. There are sewer utilities throughout the state.
So each area or region has a utility district?
Like the St. Louis area has something called Metropolitan Sewer District, and they have sewers all over the St. Louis area. But I think generally they have them where there's also water lines, and they also own the water lines, and when they don't pay their bill, they get a unified bill, and when they don't pay, they get their water shut off, so they pay.
Which brings me to another point. When we were talking about the costs and stuff, the $32.88 for just the sewer at this level, and that's for residential or whatever. There was just an article in the paper on Saturday from Branson, and it made me just think, and this, how much is this, the county sewer? It says, Public Information Director Jerry Adams said the city's average residential water and sewer bill is approximately $20. They're asking for an increase. It says, even if the increase is approved, it's a 5% increase starting January 2011. So they're paying $21 for an average residential water and sewer bill in Branson.
And they're not coming close to covering what it costs them to produce the water and treat the sewage. They're not even coming close. They're supplementing that with other city funds.
We had a study that the engineering firm did the rate and see if I can get you that book. As Bob said, there's a tourism tax that pays that part of that bill, and that's why it's so cheap. If you look at other areas in the southwest Missouri, we're not out of line.
I knew there had to be a catch there somewhere because I'm thinking, how can they do that? You know?
They have a supplemental. They use some of their tax to supplement it.
So are we in favor? I'm just thinking that it's been a long time since the commission sat down with the sewer board. Shall we set up a meeting or one of us individually go and ask them if they're all right if we...
I think we should have other discussions with staff that we have, then let them give us an understanding of what their position and what they have presented to the sewer board, and then go to the sewer board and see what goes on. I believe that would be the best route to go on that, because we have no idea what the staff has said to the sewer board, either individually or as a group.
And there are business decisions to be made in the policy, and there are legal decisions, and there are a myriad of both business and legal situations and problems in formulating a policy.
And may I make a plea that what they've suggested towards my property, put it on hold. It's not that I don't want sewer. I just want it to be done fairly and where I can accommodate it and where I can go ahead and look at the retirement that we bought this mobile home port for in the first place 21 years ago. This was supposed to be our retirement, and now it looks like we're getting shut down.
Part of the problem, though, is a contract and remobilizing after they've already mobilized. They've got to do whatever they're going to do now or decide to do something different.
Have they issued the bid and everything then?
I think it was at the last meeting, they decided to change the design based upon the problem with this situation to do something slightly different. And I didn't stay for the whole thing, so I don't remember exactly how they redid it, but they redid it based on the problems out here at this site.
If on the maps there, you can see where it's my understanding that they're just going to, whether they're coming to this corner or back to this manhole, I'm not sure.
I understand that part. My question is, when are they doing the bid?
I would have to check.
Okay. That I understood with the revisions and why they would revise it. Just take you out of the picture. So.
Right. Exactly. And that really is, that was not my original intent. I made the mistake of asking the question, how much is this going to cost? You know, and then it all broke loose from there.
They may already be, are they already working on this and that's a change order, or do they still have to bid? I don't know where they're at.
I would follow what Danny was saying and get Suti in here and have him just give us a report where they are and also what ideas or what's been thrown around as far as...
They've had discussions we don't know anything about.
John called, by the way, when he saw that I put that on the agenda, and they had a meeting with Trokey, I believe, on the Table Rock Acres or something.
JCI Industries case?
I think so. And offered to readjust to be here, and I said, no, let us go ahead and talk about it. So, you know, he's willing to come, I know, of course.
I want to commend everybody. Everybody's, you know, listened and stuff. They haven't always let me know when things were happening, but when I've wanted to talk, people talk, and I want to commend everybody on that.
Yeah, they
really do appreciate it.
They just forgot to get back to you on that. I'm glad you thought to get the minutes. Okay, well, you heard us. I think you were here when we went through our agenda, so I'm thinking it's going to be...
It's going to be a couple of weeks before we have a chance.
Well, what I'm going to do is I may get a hold of the sewer, you know, I may talk to one of the sewer guys and just see what the status of this contract is, seeing if it's already executed or if that was a change order. I just don't know what they've done. Because if it's already executed, then we may have to accelerate and try to have a special meeting. If they're still in the bidding, quoting stage, it can wait another week or so. My concern is if they did a change order, and I just don't know.
We might... I'm not available tomorrow evening, but we might have to try an alternative meeting. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And do an evening meeting or something. We've done that. Get the pizzas out. 6 o'clock or something.
I just got a call today from a gentleman who hooked up on one of our lines. He's complaining about a neighbor who hasn't hooked up yet.
So have we got enough work? What are you doing to us?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just going to say there's a whole lot to this issue.
Thank you, Bob, for pointing out that
we have issues.
I want to make one more suggestion, if I may. When you start a project like this, if you could notify everyone and get everyone together so that everyone knows what this costs, what they're looking at for their personal situation, because how one property affects another, like you say. And if you can get together and people know the issues, because they just come and say, all that happened to us was they came out and said, do you want county sewer? Well, yeah, we've been waiting for a long time for county sewer. And that, but you don't get the whole story. You just get, oh, well, county sewer's coming. Well, then you find out that it's kind of like going fishing and they're dangling the bait there and the fish just thinks it's food. You don't know it's going to affect the rest of your life. You know, it's just.
Pretty good sales.
Yeah, you really need to know the whole story before you say yes, I want sewer. You wanna know what you're getting yourself into first.
Fair enough.
You expect people to have common sense, reasoning, and to charge someone for a spot that there's no sewer, a sewer bill is unreasonable.
I agree. Thank you all so very much. I do appreciate your making the extra time. I know you're very busy on a lot of things, but I think this is an important issue, and that's why I'm willing to put my emotions and everything else out on the line to defend this. So thank you again very much.
Yes.
Okay. We're ready.
Have you looked at these abatements, Danny?
Aye.
Here, pass those down real fast so we can vote on that, too.
Bob, it's been fun,
there you go.
As it always is with you. See you later, alligator. After Wall Crocodile.
There you go.
We are looking at motions, abatement numbers 201, 10341, 340, 362, and 361. Refund abatements on vehicles that had the wrong
year
on the assessment form.
Did you make that in a form of a motion?
That is a motion to approve those four.
I'll second the motion for discussion for Danny to read them. Are you good? I mean, they all show the all affidavits and all that. So.
Yep.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
All right, I'm taking this to them so we don't get... Put it down. Go ahead, Frank. Start without me, please.
Do we have Park Road?
Park Grove Road Drive, whatever it is. Yes.
We've got queued up.
Wonderful.
Are you just continue, Frank? If I don't see you until next week, that's fine. Just I'm really here.
You better be right by. We're sending the dogs out. You got any dogs left you could send after him? Smell him out?
I haven't got any dogs left. I had a poor old beagle dog.
I had a beagle and a black dog belonged to our neighbors. They were hunting right below us the other morning. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got up one morning early and sat on the back steps. Didn't see him, but I could hear him.
We're idling here. If anybody's waiting on us, we're getting close.
Mary would like some signatures from you since Frank's eating up his time playing solitaire on the internet.
Did you see that solitaire too? What are we signing here? Oh.
You know, we did the update because we had some viruses this weekend.
Yeah.
So.
It changed a little bit of things.
Okay. Okay.
Frank? Have we not looked at this?
We've not looked at the video. We've talked about this particular road several times in the last few weeks.
Okay, the reason I say that is because the entrance of one of the roads that we took in on the six roads looked just like this.
Yeah, this was not part of one.
Okay.
This was a road that was a petition previously in 2004.
Oh, yeah.
And approved contingent upon a turnaround. They weren't willing to do a turnaround until last 2 weeks or so.
Right.
And last thing I said was that I'd get you guys a video. It's an chip seal/asphalt surface where that has quite a bit of deterioration. You can see just by the entrance here. And there are potholes and depressed areas about 6 inches deep. The ride quality is horrible. And so they have come forth and stated that they would grant a perpetual easement for a turnaround at the end of this particular road. It's 400-some feet long.
Okay. Is it a 50-foot easement?
40.
Check me out there.
40-foot easement is in the subdivision.
Yes.
All right. Let's go ahead and roll them.
Thank you. Well, that video quality is not going to do much for you. Is it? A lot of deterioration on the right there. Big canyon.
What was the cost to take this in and get it about up to standards?
Cost for immediate fix to patch the potholes would be $500 to $750, and
that's not going to do any good on this situation.
What we've talked about, what this really needs is to be scarified and recompacted and chip sealed on top of that.
But you can't do it this year, can you?
No. But we could improve ride quality
by just doing some
on a temporary basis by patching.
And they have agreed to give us the turnaround?
Turnaround would be up here on the left. Lightly shaded area is a driveway which would be accessible for a turnaround.
So a good turnaround, safe turnaround, all that?
Yes, sir.
And we voted to take this in 04?
04, contingent upon the turnaround.
And so now now that it's...
Contingency's been met.
Well, let's just take it in.
Motion to take in Park Drive.
Second.
Discussion.
Yeah, what cost?
Short-term cost would be minimal just for patching. Long-term cost would be, I believe, between $5,000 and $7,500.
For the one time?
Yes.
To get it back up to standard and then the regular 5 to 7 year return?
Yes, sir.
Cost of ownership kind of thing.
One other question. When we had the discussions on the other roads, did we have a discussion about budget and where that was going to put us on your budget? Because you were talking about your budget all the time when we were talking about other county roads. Chuck and I had a concern if we didn't take roads in that the tax would be a issue next time. So. The $7,500, the reason we took those others in because there was an average, I think, of $10,000 to $15,000 on those. This isn't going to affect, but is it going to affect this year's if there's any more comes in?
This won't affect you this year's as we won't do any major work to it.
Okay.
Quite possibly not even next summer based on the...
Okay, well, I'm just asking questions.
Sure.
I just want to know where we're at on... So I'm not in favor of taking it in. I'm just wanting to know all the particulars. So
mm-hmm.
I'm ready to call. You know, you can call for a vote on it any time. I just want to know those.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Will you contact the lady that called me and I had called you?
Okay.
And what are you going to tell her as far as this year? Are you going to do anything this year?
Tell her to move forward with the expenditure on the legal description write-up for the turnaround, and that we would do some, once that is completed, we would do some patching and probably be sometime next summer or fall after all the pre-scheduled work is already done for next year's work, that we would get in there and scarify and rebuild the road to a proper condition, better than it is right now.
But you're going to patch some this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Once we get the turnaround.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm not getting in your business because you know your business better than I do, but would you be better off to rip and tear that whole stinking mess up and not waste your patching?
Because of the fact that we'd have to establish some drainage and build the turnaround area, if we got into it right now, it would be the full $7,500 expenditure. And what they're interested in right now is in making it through the winter and ride quality. So we'd spend half a day with hot mix in there, cleaning and patching, and then we would meet their immediate needs.
Yeah, here's where I'm at, Frank. And no criticism on your part, because you know what you were doing on the Heritage Estates deal. If we go in and patch this up and it isn't to a standard that people understand, the drive-by person that looks at that road and says, well, they took that one into the county, but look at that mess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would have a logical explanation for them, just like I did on Heritage Estates. And I have talked to the residents and let them know that due to scheduling, weather, and everything else, the most we could probably do this year is some patching. And they're happy to hear that and hopeful that the county would take it
right,
in.
Right, and taking it in, what I was saying is, I know that we've done this in other places. If you went in there with that grader and ripped it up and pulled it all to the center line, you got your ditch lines that need to be cleaned anyway. They pull up, you got that on top, and you got a rideable surface that it's already still, you know, till it gets down into the freezing point. You got a good surface then for them, and then if nothing else, it sets there all winter long and packs down, and then when you get ready to go in there and do a chip and seal job, you've got a good job. But that's your business. I'm just knowing from what I've looked at before.
I agree with a lot of what you said, other than what you may not know about based on this video, is that we'd have to establish there's a couple hundred feet on the right-hand side or north side that don't have ditch lines right now, and having to do that work in conjunction with all of it is. I'd rather wait till next summer.
Okay, go ahead. I mean, that's your deal.
But I understand your concerns. Thank you. I was told that I had 15 minutes.
I was trying to eat up most of that there.
Three
and I appreciate that too, Danny. I mean, I saw it going, and I was like, "This is you're doing."
Three of
well.
Those minutes are left, I think.
Maybe. Okay. We may round. But act like you only have three.
Okay. The $1,000 claim from the transmission at the end of Gunnison. I did have a meeting with Asphalt Fuels out of Oklahoma, and they will pay 100% of that claim.
Good job.
There you go.
That's what they should do.
Danny takes back half the bad things he said about you behind your back.
We talked about tires a little bit last week, and the question I think for Mr. Pennell is where do our tires go and what do they do with them? Our tires go to, they're taken away 4 to 5 times a year at a cost of about $3,000 per load. On average, 600 to 800 tires in those loads. So that's about, at today's rate, it's $12,000 to $15,000 per year. The tires go to Odessa, Missouri. Several things happen once they reach that point. The waste product of that they're not able to create shredded material for bulk rubber uses or shredded material for playgrounds, the rest is taken to power plants to be burned. So, and a very little bit goes to be dumped in an actual dump site. I did look at machines that could accomplish the shredding to the very large size that isn't really usable other than to create smaller pieces to put it into the normal trash steam. Those are $12,000 to $15,000. We could probably, you mentioned you saw somebody do it with a knife blade. We could probably do it a little easier and safer with a Sawzall type tool. And so I'd really like to continue to look at that based on our cost to dispose of those tires or recycle them the way we are doing it now. We have some other needs in the transfer station at peak times for a spotter and also to help with our recycling program in the metal to segregate metal. We could pull more money out of that. So I'd like to study that a little bit further and see if it doesn't really pencil out for a half-time person or something like that.
Be great.
What about rubber driveways? What about using it in asphalt type situation for? Because I know they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing like that we could experiment if we had a shredder and accommodate like one of the driveways for one of our facilities? I mean, is that feasible?
It's something that's done at a hot mix plant, and they had a big push, I guess, years ago. In Missouri for rubberized asphalt, and they ran into some problems with it. And I've not heard anything on the local scene as of recently for rubberized asphalt, but okay. it has its place. And
I mean, I know that it would be required at the plant level, and I know that we're trying to see if Branson talked to the local plants even about just putting glass in it, because a lot of plants are now putting glass as a recycling measure, and they don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
So.
It takes some modification of the plant.
Right.
The microsurfacing project is moving forward, and we're anticipating that the week of the 25th, which starts next Monday, would be the beginning of a week-long project, which is primarily in the Branson side, off of Foggy River, Acacia Club, the new neighborhoods off of T Highway, and Heritage Estates. We'll all see a microsurfacing product, which is the same company and product that we'll see in the old town of Branson if you've driven near their city hall. So it's that same project. I will do a press release this week, probably late today or tomorrow. We also have a flyer that we created that will be handed out to each person's residence. And this, in conjunction with the crews from Donaldson Construction, talking with the people and my press release, should minimize or hopefully eliminate any confusion or problems as far as people parking on the road and having limited access to their homes. I attended a one-day training seminar last week on the New Madrid earthquake fault line. It was the 200th year anniversary of one of the largest quakes in United States history. There were over 230 emergency people, public works officials, fire, police, ambulance, Red Cross, and it was a tabletop exercise on what to do in preparation for and in the event of a major catastrophic natural disaster. Next issue is KDOC. After having talked to Arkansas Fish and Game and the Army Corps, it's becoming evident that to move forward on the filling of the KDOC 14-foot elevation change so that we have an all-weather road there, it, based on two conversations, it appears we'll need to have that engineered by a professional engineer and have that design stamped by them. So it's not on our agenda today, but I'd like to move forward in having that project engineered.
Put that on the agenda for Monday or...
Okay.
Just get with Nikki if we need to do a call-in vote on him this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that all right with you, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Why are we waiting?
We
didn't post specifically to place a vote on KDOC.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Expenditure funds.
Yep. I'm good.
And that could happen... Wednesday. We're here Wednesday, aren't we?
We're not. We're at the.
Oh yeah. But we're spring Thursday. Where was? What day were we here? We were here on one of the.
No, the rest of this week. We're traveling this week.
Okay. But if it's,
it shouldn't be. It's not a big deal. Do a call-in vote.
Yeah, doing.
Just get with Nikki and do a call-in vote.
Okay.
Just before before your meeting or something like that on that on Wednesday?
Have you checked with their engineering crew that was down there? If they have, they might have some money-saving engineering elevations and shots. They were down there for 2 days.
I have not checked with them. It was my understanding they were...
What's the little guy with bald head that, was... He'd come to one of the meetings, works for the Corps. He would have a lot of the information. I called Tracy Fincher and asked him who it was.
Okay.
So, go on out there a ways. We're talking about engineering to fill that?
Yes.
In doing that, have we got the okay from the Corps to do it and get material from them?
They know that it's a strong, high priority for Taney County and that we've been wanting to move in that direction for a long time. They advised to me during one of the two conversations with different people, do you have engineered plans to do that yet? And I said, no. Well, they said, that's one of the things you're going to need prior to moving forward. So they highly anticipate and know that we're moving in that direction.
They didn't promise, but the indication would be that if we get our ducks in a row.
Right.
Good.
And I believe on our calendars, I've seen an updated meeting schedule to meet with Arkansas Fish and Game and the Army Corps. It's not this week, possibly not next, but I've seen it there. Karen Custer with the transfer station has been working. I asked her to write down everything she knew about the transfer station so that we could put it on our website. We had a meeting with Branson a couple of weeks ago. And I wanted to talk, one of the requests there was that the person didn't know much about our transfer station, how it operates, so I asked Karen to put a couple sheets of information down, hours, what we take, what we don't take, and then I'll work with our IT people to put it on a website. Doing the same thing with Sean and Taney County Road and Bridge Department, we'll have an updated website on that information as well. And then possibly have a couple of flyers made for, I don't know if fall cleanup is the right place to hand these types of things out, or just have it available somewhere in the courthouse, in the hallways, but it's a neat information piece. One question we had in regards to the holiday schedule this year, upcoming for Thanksgiving and Christmas, was would we follow last year's example for closing the transfer station on the Saturday after the Friday is the holiday, I believe, both.
So make it an extended weekend.
Yes.
And we closed it last time, didn't we?
We did last year for Thanksgiving and for Christmas.
And we didn't have any feedback. I didn't remember hearing any negative feedback on the Thanksgiving at all. Did you?
I did not. I don't know if anybody else did.
I'm fine with the Thursday. How about you guys? I mean, I'm fine with the Thanksgiving. When does Christmas fall this year?
I think it's on a Friday also. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Let me see if I can pull it up real fast here.
While you're thinking about that situation, he's looking. The Corps has some available materials filled that's up on where Epps built the road around.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them if they're going to try to work with us at all, they should give us some availability to get that close proximity. They don't want us blasting the bluff off.
They've right.
already said that. It's too, but now they didn't have any problem with us blasting Slough Holler, the side of it off over there.
You're right. I don't know what day the holiday would be. Probably Monday. The Friday. Christmas is on a Saturday. Is it on our calendar?
I think the holiday is both holidays. Isn't Thanksgiving and Christmas on Friday this year?
No, Thanksgiving is always on a Thursday.
Okay, then we close the day after, so they're asking to do what we did last year, which was the Saturday.
Right, so it'd be Friday, Saturday, we're closed on transfer. This year, Christmas falls on a Saturday,
okay.
So our holiday would either be Friday or Monday. And I don't know.
I'd say Friday would be in a travel.
I haven't looked at the
travel location for people to get to wherever they're going for the holiday.
I'm looking to see if we have it. If
Okay, but when is the holiday? When is the holiday? Go to your next one, and we'll find back. Come back to her.
This is a little bit of an update on Boys Camp Road. I've met several times with Travis Heyer with Archer Engineering, and I don't know if you've heard of the issues they're having with the bypass road they want to build, that they need to build in order to build Boys Camp Road. They made a request to go through a portion of their wastewater treatment plant and put high fence up with razor wire, security fence, and Rockaway Beach didn't like that proposal. Another proposal would be to go through the swampy area of the lake, and that would be problematic for environmental concerns, and DNR wouldn't like that. So the city of Rockaway would like is for us to go, I believe there's a platted road not built on paper called Bentley, which goes up into the bluff slightly above the homes, and the city of Rockaway would like us to build that home as the bypass road for the construction purposes of raising Boys Camp. Just off an uneducated guess from the engineering firm was that'd be a $100,000 build to build that temporary road, and in the event we were to do that, then we wouldn't need to build.
The road.
That's what I told the engineering firm. So if you get a chance to talk to the city of Rockaway, Mr. Klein and or their alderman, I think that it's an unreasonable request for us to put $100,000 potentially into a temporary bypass road, which then they would use long term. But there's some issues there, and we're having a hard time coming up with an answer for where to build that bypass road. They could be more cooperative. It's to their benefit.
To go back to your question, the little birdie told me that if the holiday falls on a Saturday, we get the Friday off. If the holiday falls on a Sunday, we would get the Monday off. So December 24th will be the holiday for the county. So if you're asking for the 24th, we're going to be closed anyway for the 24th for the transfer station. So I don't know if you're asking for any more days off or not.
The 24th would be on a
Friday.
Friday. And then Christmas they would be the 25th.
Would be closed anyway. So I would say my suggestion is we close Thursday, Friday, Saturday for Thanksgiving and Friday, Saturday for Christmas. Similar to what we did last year. Does anybody else have a suggestion like that?
That's plenty good with me. I didn't know that we had the Saturday part day anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is half day.
That's good.
Okay. So that was just a heads up on Boys Camp. Our early retirement policy.
Frank, and I'm going to go ahead and exit. Go ahead and keep on talking.
Okay.
But my time's up.
Email came forward from Dixie that this policy sunsets on October 31st. 2010, four of our employees have filled in the request for notification that they plan to retire within the next 6 months. My concern is with this policy sunsetting October 31st, and with the hopes of putting it in the budget for these people to be able to take advantage of this program, but their retirement date is after October 30th, after the sunset time. Do we need to look at that in the future?
The commission needs to review it this month.
Okay.
That's what, I mean, I know. But
we got it on our...
Dixie's going to present to us.
Okay.
That was just something that we picked a random name.
You got four or five? I heard there's five.
Well, there's more than that now. I heard there's...
In Roden Bridge.
Oh, Roden Bridge.
Roden Bridge, last I heard, was four, possibly five.
Okay.
The last thing I have, and I'm almost made.
I've heard that. I've heard that before. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
It's really frustrating being a county employee and sitting on the Planning and Zoning Board to continue to hear the public bash Planning and Zoning. Continue to hear Planning and Zoning is not working or lacks common sense is a common term that I continue to hear. I truly believe that everyone that's on the board is doing the best of their ability and that they're educated and have common sense. It's staff's job, in my eyes, to support the document in its current configuration. I think that's what everyone's trying to do. We talk about things during the meetings that, to me, make common sense, but our document doesn't allow us to maybe sometimes do the right thing. It's like the document sometimes works against us, like a subdivision split. We're talking about, you know, wouldn't it be nice if they could just give an acre or two or five to their family and we wouldn't have to go through this subdivision split. So a lot of the things that I hear people complain about, people in planning and zoning agree with. So I agree, let's work on planning and zoning, but it appears and it feels like there's a lot of attacks on personnel or personal attacks. And
we've restricted that, though, to personnel issues. They may feel that way, but it may get down to that point where there is executive session meetings about something like that. But Chuck and I both have, in our meetings, have said staff, elimination of names, no mention of staff, and all those kind of things. So, I mean, it may... That's an uncomfortable feeling no matter which side of the fence you're sitting on.
Bottom line, I'm endorsing our planning and zoning staff and board. They're a great group of people, and I think they're doing the best of their ability, but restricted by the document that we're currently working with. And they want to do things right for the majority of the citizens also. That's all I have for you today.
Thank you very much.
That's the condensed version.
Look at the 3 minute over time version.
All right. Anything else we need to discuss? We'll recess.
All right. That's about recess was my favorite time in school.
Yep.
Thank you for your time.